Let's prepare ourselves for continuation of a very important study that we're in the midst of and sort of on the ending side of. But as far as I'm concerned, fundamental in the relationships that we have with one another. Paul, you want to get all those doors for me? I'd appreciate it. And so many people, this is a big area of problem in Christian life. If they were living on a remote island, most people think they could live a wonderful Christian life. But let one person land on that island and it messes it all up. And yet this is the mark of whether we belong to Christ as far as the world and the spiritual warfare is concerned. Not that you have believed in Christ as Savior. That certainly gets you eternal life and the security. But as far as the mark of belonging to Him in the world, it's to love one another as Christ loved us. And it is no accident that Christ made that the new commandment. And because it is in our contact with other Christians that we really are tested in regard to our faith. And we are, we've moved now to the negatives in dealing with one another. And so let's prepare ourselves that the Spirit can open our eyes and we can see these things. And again, I must remind you, this is not a list that you do or don't do. These are things that are recorded in Scripture. Why are they there if we do not do them? They are there so that, one, we will know the love that God expects. Two, they are there so that we can listen to the Holy Spirit and the things that He will reveal to us, lead us. We are to be led of the Spirit, we're to follow the Spirit, and these are the things we can look for to occur, or in this case now in the negatives, not to occur if indeed we are walking in the power of the Spirit. So this is not a list to go around and use to judge others or even self. It's to let you know I'm not in the power of the Spirit when we see these things occurring in our own lives. So let's prepare ourselves for the listening to the Spirit as to what He's saying to us in these passages. Let's pray. Your Spirit, Heavenly Father, is the member of the Godhead who inspired the writers of Scripture from the book of Job to the book of Revelation. He was very careful in working through the writers, the human writers of Scripture, in the recording of the Holy Scripture. We are aware of the fact. We're aware of the fact, Father, that He is equally in working for the correct understanding of Scripture. We are not left wandering around trying to figure these things out because we cannot. We are dependent upon Him to open our eyes that we can see, just as we are dependent upon Him to have these things recorded and preserving them through the history of man. And so now, Father, we recognize our total dependency on Your Spirit, trusting Him to open our eyes that we might see. Father, we pray these things now in Christ's name. Amen. Okay. We have covered three of these negatives that will occur between believers and that should not occur. And again, I just can't overstress this, because when you do this kind of study, you have a very strong tendency, people do often, of making a list. Okay, I don't want to do this, I don't want to. Again, this is one of those things, these are the things that will not happen if I am walking by faith in the Holy Spirit. These are those undercurrent things that will happen. And the person we studied was betraying one another, but Christians turning against and turning on one another. Then the second one, obviously, that most people are aware of, hating one another. We are not to hate one another, for where there is hate, there is no spiritual love, which obviously lets you know there is no power of the Spirit, because love is a fruit of the Spirit. A lot of Christians like to claim they love God, but not some other believer. That's impossible, and Scripture makes that very clear. You don't get by with saying, "Oh, I'm right with God." It's just this person. No, if we love Him, we're going to love one another. If we love one another, we're going to love Him. This is the effect of spiritual love. Then the third one, the one that people do not normally think about, that is a very strong problem throughout all church history, and that is competing with one another. And tonight we continue where we left off last Wednesday evening, another one that is not often thought about, not often brought to our attention, and therefore we're sometimes not listening to the Holy Spirit when He brings this one up, and that is being inconsiderate of one another. This is very strong in very close relationships. Husbands are often most inconsiderate of the person that they claim to love. Wives are often very inconsiderate of the person that they are married to. We often are most inconsiderate of those that are very close, and we're not aware that this is something that will not happen when we are walking in the power of the Holy Spirit. Now, to pick us up where we left off, because there's a lot involved here, let's open the Scriptures to Luke. Let's open the Scriptures to Dr. Luke, and let's look at Luke chapter 12 and get ourselves oriented to what's going on. Sometimes a chapter break is most unfortunate. The Nazarites, especially in the Old Testament, in the chapter breaks, the old joke is they're riding along on the mule, and every time the mule would stagger or turn, they'd make a chapter break or a verse break, and that's why sometimes you go, "What are they doing here?" And there's really no rhyme or reason for a lot of the verses, and especially chapter breaks, such is the case right now, as you'll see. Chapter 12, verse 1. Dr. Luke brings this to our attention under these circumstances, and that is chapter 11, verses 53 and 54. After so many thousands of the multitude had gathered together, to hear Jesus Christ, that they were stepping on one another, He began saying to His disciples, first of all, be aware of the leaven of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy. It just doesn't make sense unless we let the Spirit open our eyes. Now, we can, in human terms, come and draw some principles here. But if you just are reading this, the information and what Christ says, how does all of this tie in under these circumstances? 53 and 54, thousands of the multitude gathered together. Okay, so far we're all right. That they were stepping on one another. Okay, why are we told that? And then the next thing just is baffling to the mind. If you're just reading along, they're stepping on one another. It would be nice if he began to say to His disciples, calm down the people so that they don't tear up each other. Calm down the people before we have a riot. Calm down the people before we really hurt, somebody really gets hurt. That makes sense in our mind of thinking. He doesn't say that. Look what he says. In this context of believers stepping on one another, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy. If you're standing there, and you look over here at this crowd, and they're all stepping on one another, and here's Christ, and you recognize Him as the authority of everything here, and He says, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees. Are you just looking at the same thing I'm looking at here? Don't you see what's going on out here, what all these people are doing to one another? You lose the connection in the scene of what's going on unless we let the Spirit open our eyes. Why is the information given to us? First of all, it seems superfluous because He doesn't really deal with it. We're not told, we got to break this up and stop everybody from hurting one another. He doesn't do that. So why are we told they're stepping on one another? And certainly, what did Christ mean by his words? Okay, let's take a look. Chapter 11, verse 53, and when he left there, he being Jesus Christ, we're in chapter 11, verse 53, the scribes and the Pharisees, okay, the law crowd, began to be very hostile. Okay, we know that stepping on one another is a hostile action. So there's our first clue. If we're seeing what's going on, where does this hostility come from? It comes from the law. The law is designed to be hostile. We studied all of this in Galatians. The law is designed to increase sin. The law is designed to kill. The law is designed to stomp on one another. So we've got our first little clue. Began to be very hostile. So what they're doing, we're going to see with this crowd. And to question him, Jesus Christ, closely, under scrutiny, as what closely means is, meaning we're going to catch you. We are going to catch you. And outside of the person of Jesus Christ, once Satan goes after you, he will catch you. From Job all the way through the Bible. Once Satan calls your name, he will get you. I by no means condone anything of what our president has done that is wrong, but I just have to kind of smile that, what is it, up to now, like $50 million, $40 million spent. And people, you spend $50 million to find something on somebody, you're going to find it. You're either going to find it or it's going to be fabricated, but they're scrutinizing the Lord here. They're just going to zero in on him and try to find him and catch him. So it's, what are they playing? And I want these things, people, I really do in this teaching and in the momentum of where we are. I want you in the spirit to just begin for yourself to be able to read Scripture. And when you see things like that, I hope what will come to your mind is, the wisdom battle. Because that's what this whole universe is about. The first universe where angels rebelled, where Lucifer, the bright and shining one, then became Satan, rebelled. This was about power. This was about power, and Satan lost. Then we have the second universe. What's at play? Well, you got it right from the very beginning, with the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. The tree of life. The battle now is wisdom. This is the battle. And this is just what is God doing and trying to figure God out. A lot of Christians think they've got God figured out because they know from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, concepts of the law. But it's all a wisdom thing. And when you study and read these things, Old Testament or New, but especially here with the Pharisees, what you're looking at is, We're gonna figure it out. We're gonna take this thinking system and we're gonna catch you and don't do that with God. This is what we're seeing on Sunday morning. So we didn't get very far, but at least we got introduced into the serpent on the pole. We'll get to the serpent on the pole and the son on the pole. But if you remember what they were doing then, after they stopped trusting, they started complaining. In other words, I can figure out what God is like. I can figure out the way God ought to be. Don't ever enter that. Whenever you start complaining to God, you're saying, God, I know what's best for me. And you're not doing what's best for me. Just think about what you're doing. You've entered into this wisdom game with God now. You're now telling God, I know best. You don't really understand, God. I do. So what you have done, forgive the way most people are, oh, you're sinning and you're talking against God. I want you to understand what you're doing. You've entered into the battle. You've entered into the false battle of trying to figure it all out rather than just trust him. Just trust him. This is why the total of Scripture says, trust me, I'm God. You learned that from the first book of the Bible, Job. The first lesson you learn, fundamental lesson, trust me, I'm God. And then all the way through. But boy, when we go to this, we've entered it. And this is why you take, from last night, you take such phrases and I try to show you how important spiritual love is, what does it say it does? It's beyond understanding. What does that mean? What that means is, don't try to figure out spiritual love. You're not going to. Just let the Holy Spirit put it through. This is why man can't produce this. Man cannot produce this. And even if man could, man wouldn't. Man wouldn't do it, even if he could figure it, have it come about. So you enter into this realm, and people just know I minimize it so that you're just playing with the genius here. And you want to play this little, shell game with him, you're going to lose every time. Don't bet a whole lot. Because you're not going to win. So this is what they've done. Scribes and Pharisees are a picture of Satan and a picture of man. We're gonna work this thing through. We're going to touch you. This is what Job did. This is what David did. We all do this. We come down on the scribes and Pharisees, but we all end up doing this. Okay. Not on how, where all that came from, but we're there. All right. To question him closely. Now, scrutiny, challenging. On many subjects. And I love that. Well, we didn't get you here. Let's try this one. Well, we didn't get you there. Let's try that one. And they're just going to keep trying. And every time, they're just not going to get there. Okay. Verse 54. Plotting against him to catch him in something he might say. So here we are at wisdom. And they are plotting. They want to destroy him. They're plotting to destroy. They don't want to learn. They don't want information. They don't want these things. They just want to catch him. What can I do to catch you? And then use it against you. And of course, they never win in this little battle. So get the chapter break now. Plotting against him to catch him in something he might say. Under these circumstances, under what circumstances? The plotting, the scrutiny, the trying to get something against him. Under that environment, so we already see we're in a hostile environment, verse 53. We're under trying to plot to catch him. All these things going on. Here now you're going to have a visible showing of what's going on in the soul. Under these circumstances, after so many thousands of the multitude had gathered together, they were stepping on one another. Now, before we examine that, look at the next phrase. He began saying to his disciples, first of all, and that's important, first of all, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy. Now, why did Jesus Christ say this at this exact moment? Because the people, what they're doing is exactly what the Pharisees want to do to him. This is what law does. This is what a list will do. If you formulate your list, you will trample on one another. You formulate a list that you think this is the way everything ought to be. Then people, you're going to trample on one another by your list. You've got your list of the way things ought to be. This is the way Christ ought to be. I'm going to catch it. This is the way you ought to be, and you're not, so down on you. You ought to be this, down on you. That's what lists are for. That's what lists will do. Not so much what they're for in man's design, but that's what they end up doing. So this is what, you have a picture. What are we studying Sunday morning? God is giving the Israelites what? He's giving them visual aid. I want you to see your condition, your snake bit. God often gives us visual aids. And this is a visual aid. All of this stomping on one another that is going on. Trampling. That's the dilemma of law. Law has no choice but to trample on one another. That's the dilemma of law. Hypocrisy, wearing a mask. And here it's wearing a mask that they are saved, that they are for him, but they are not. Inside, they are rejecting. We saw hypocrisy in Galatians as what? A person who is saved by grace through faith, but lives like they're saved by law. That's what Peter was going to try to do. All right. Now, so the law tramples down one another. Okay, for our study. Now, the surface level of our study. We have seen the spiritual and what's really going on. Now, the practical for our understanding, being inconsiderate of one another. When we refuse people to walk by faith in the Spirit, means that we walk in flesh. And one thing you can count on when you're walking in the flesh, one thing that you can count on, and don't forget this, is that the flesh is always going to look out for number one. It is always going to look out for number one. When the flesh is in control, it's going to look out for self. What's wrong with that? Look at love. Spiritual love. What does spiritual love always look out for? The other person. There you have it. Flesh is always going to look out for self. Spiritual love, in contrast, is always going to look out for the other person. That's what love does. Even if I have to lay down my own life, I will do it if it will bring about your reconciliation with him. So this is our contrast right here, showing you this great power of love. So we have the flesh, self. What is jealousy? Jealousy is nothing more than the flesh protecting itself. We talk about it being a sin, but go think beyond that. Don't just talk, well, jealousy is a sin and think you've covered it. You haven't even begun to cover it. Jealousy, I know I'm in the flesh because I'm trying to protect self. Self feels threatened, self becomes jealous. That's all jealousy is. Jealousy is self, is the immune system of the flesh. I've got to protect myself. Somebody else is getting praised. Ooh, we get jealous. What about me? Somebody else is getting something. Ooh, what about me? See? That's all that we have going on. So it's going to protect self. So, inconsiderate of one another, you're walking in the flesh, and when it finally comes down to it, people, you are out for number one. You are inconsiderate of others. It lets you know you are walking in the flesh. This is what happens anytime, people. We're in the flesh. This is what happens when you go to a performance system, a denomination, a movement, a group that have their list. It's me. Am I doing the list? And you will actually even hurt others and be inconsiderate of others for yourself. A performance system does that. For the sake of your performance, you're being accepted by God. You're getting the blessing. Inconsiderate of others. For the sake of the list itself, you will actually trample down others. Here's our list, and boy, don't you even think about touching our list. It's from the Bible. And we're going to get you if you even think of fooling us, and you'll hurt others. All for the sake of your list. You'll say it's for God, but we can go to Scripture and show if you really cared about God, it's going to be spiritual love. What you really care about is your list. What our list is. We don't like to admit that. It's a tough one to admit. Especially if you preached it, taught it. And then you have to stand up and say, the list isn't right. And people just don't want to do that. Pastors don't want to do that. But if you've got a list, people, it's for that sake of that list. This is what becomes sacred. Not spiritual love, not God, not Jesus Christ, but my list. And you will hurt. You will hurt other Christians because of your list. Make no doubt about it. You will be inconsiderate of others. Your list must remain intact. It must remain sacred. And therefore, you're going to be inconsiderate of others for the sake of your list. It just doesn't matter. I have got to keep my list holy. I've got to keep my list sacred. This is this whole thing, you know, Jesus and being Lord of all, and keep the holiness and the purity and all of that stuff. People, that which is holy is holy. You're not going to keep it holy, make it unholy. And if you are inconsiderate of others to try to do it, it lets you know you're dealing with relative holiness, if you please. Now, you walk by faith in the Holy Spirit, guess what is going to happen? He's going to pour in spiritual love. And guess what spiritual love is? Spiritual love is always considerate of the other person. You don't think I've got to be considerate. You are considerate if you're walking here. It goes back to the study we had a couple of weeks ago. When you're doing your activities of life, whatever they are, you don't sit there and think. You don't have time to think. You've got to deal with your work. You've got to deal with whatever it is you're doing in life. Work, pleasure, home. So, but what is going to come through you is a consideration of others that you're not even aware of, but it's the power of spiritual love, because spiritual love is always considerate of others, not inconsiderate. So this is why we are not to be have inconsideration of one another. Okay, let's go to the fifth one. Boy, this one's powerful. Hope we can finish the whole deal in one shot. This is another one that is not commonly talked about. Most of the ones that are talked about are the ones we like to put, and I'll put parentheses, quotation marks, sins, hating one another, you know, that type of thing. Murdering one another, stealing from one another, those are things you shouldn't do. I want you to notice that a lot of these are ones that most people don't even think about, and yet these are the ones in the scriptures. This one is extremely important, lots of passages. It's fundamental from the spiritual warfare beginning all the way through. Okay. Point five, do not seek glory from one another. Boy, this has hurt more people than trying to seek glory from somebody else. It has really hurt a lot of people. It involves, this is another one that refers to activity from the flesh nature. Spiritual love loves one another. It does not use one another. This one involves so many things. We will not even begin to touch everything that this one involves. But when you try to do this, you get yourself so out of line, and when things don't work out, you can't believe how fast you're going to start attacking that which you tried to receive glory from and realize it didn't have glory, and now you want to destroy it. And it's your own doing anyway. But people seeking glory from one another. All right, let's open the scriptures to get our springboard, John chapter 5. We'll come to it pretty soon in John, but the Gospel of John chapter 5. Jesus Christ says, how can you believe? That's how fundamental this is. How can you believe? So our faith is at issue here. When you receive glory from one another, how can you even go into faith? How can you go into trusting the Holy Spirit if you're trying to receive glory from one another? And you do not seek the glory that is from the one and only God. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Now, there's so much going on in this study, in this verse, but we're going to try to limit ours to not seeking glory from one another. But look at the first thing that happens. How can you believe? People, this involves the unbeliever. He will never believe in Jesus Christ. The believer will never believe in the Spirit and walk by faith in the Spirit. If you're trying to receive glory from one another, you just will not live by faith if you're seeking glory from one another. You can't do it. Look with me. Let's get another perspective of the. Did I tell you? The mystery. Verse 44. Thank you, John. Thank you. John 5:44. How can you believe when you receive glory from one another, and you do not seek the glory that is from the one and only God. Just very superficially looking at it, how then do I know from this verse, how am I going to seek glory from God? It's going to be by faith. Not by doing, but by faith. How can you believe? And that's the way you're going to receive the glory from the one and only God. Because what is going to interfere with that is trying to find your glory from somewhere else, from one another. Now, first of all, here we have, how can you believe? Unbeliever will not believe in Jesus Christ as long as he's trying to receive glory from one another. The believer will not live by faith in the Holy Spirit. He's trying to receive glory from one another. Now, how do we receive glory from one another? How would this happen that I would receive glory from one another? Let's just have fun a moment and get it fine. We don't find it's no big deal. How would you think you would try to receive glory from one another? How would we do that? If we want to receive glory from one another here, what would we do? We set up a performance system. We set up some kind of system where we praise each other and we look good before each other. We have some kind of our list. We have our law. And we're going to look good before one another. This is how you do it. You have a performance system. Just to give you another way of looking at something that we've already studied, look at Galatians 5. Hold your place here because we're not there, but look at Galatians 5 a moment. See if this doesn't flow. Galatians chapter 5. And look with me at verse 4. Galatians 5, verse 4. Okay? You have been severed from Christ. Now, what does it mean, severed from Christ? You're not trusting Christ. You're not walking by faith in Christ. You are seeking to be justified by law. Being justified is another way of looking at getting glory. You have fallen from grace. You've been separated from grace. How do you do it? When you try to go to the performance system. Look at verse 2. I, Paul, say to you that if you receive circumcision, Christ will be of no benefit to you. You're not going to do faith. If I've got some kind of performance system, some list, some law that I've calculated and put together for our denomination, for our movement, people, I'm not going to get it by walking by faith in the Spirit. I'm not going to get His glory. I don't need that. I'm going to do it by my list and with each other, and we're all going to look good. That's why I tried to show you these four list categories. They're not the all-encompassing of each of these groups, but they're the main thing in the group. One is some type of moral righteousness. And so who is more righteous, moral, pure, and they all pat each other on the back and give testimonies and are watching each other, and then they judge those that are not. It becomes the momentum of everything. And we're going to receive these glory from one another because we're all going to be praised by this, for this. Other people aren't going to be so impressed. It's our denomination or our movement. This is a real big one for them. Another one. Knowledge of Bible doctrine. Boy, where are you going to get your praise? From one another. Ooh, you go to Bible class, you know, 20 times a week. You do this and you do that, or you read, you listen to tapes. And boy, you know so much doctrine. And this group isn't all that concerned, and they're, but everybody in this group, so we're going to receive glory from one another. Then you've got those that are going to do it with this great emotional thing. And boy, this person's got the second blessing, and they're really with it, and they can just turn it on like that. They can just get into it, and boy, go through this thing, and you watch these people on television. It's just you can almost, if you've watched enough, and you can write down and look at your watch how it's going to go. I can tell you when they're going to start crying. If it's an hour, if he's on for an hour, if he's on for 20 minutes, however long, I can tell you when he's going to start crying, when it's going to start coming on. And he just slowly starts getting you warmed up, and then go, and then pow, all of a sudden, wow, he's there. This is very, and how spiritual they are. And then you got the group that are into the service thing, doing for God.
you know, what is sacrificially doing and committing your life and all these types of things. And everybody's impressed, and you've gotten glory from one another in serving. And that's why you do it, because the more you do for somebody, the more they praise you. Oh, thank you so much for doing that. Thank you so much. Not saying we shouldn't say thank you. And you know well enough that when we're in the Spirit, these things will become a reality. I'm talking about where you're doing these things and you're receiving your glory from one another. Oh, you're just so wonderful for you serve and you do and boy. And we get our glory. We get our glory from doing these things. Here's our glory. Then guess what? You don't need to walk by faith in the Holy Spirit. And anybody who comes along and says, this is the way you do it, you say, no, I've got to stop this kind of teaching. This is why it's not very popular. This is why people who have their list is far more popular in the world today, in denominations and movements and churches and Bible churches and all the rest of it, because I get glory, immediate glory from one another. And when you're getting that glory, then you don't need to walk by faith. That's what he's saying here. You don't need to walk by faith. Okay, let's go back to our passage in John. John chapter 5, verse 44. Okay, so how can you believe when you receive glory from one another? You're not going to. You don't need to walk by faith if you're getting your glory from one another. If you're getting all of this from one another, then faith, God doesn't need your faith. You're getting your glory here. You're getting what you need, your praise and all from that. Okay, let's take a look at the procedure here. You have a list, law, performance, whatever it is. Then you try hard to do it, and do it perfectly, do it daily. And then you receive approval. That's glory. Praise. That's glory from one another. How wonderful you are. You're just so moral. I can't even believe how moral you are. You just know so much, and you're just always studying, and you're always there, and you're always reading, and you're always emoting, and you're always this, and you receive this praise from one another. How wonderful you are, according to our list. You are very, very wonderful. See, this group isn't really going to praise those who have a moral righteousness, because their list centers on knowledge. This group isn't really going to praise those of their knowledge and talk about where they're wrong, and they're going to deal with this one. And this one is going to have it that doesn't really motivate it on the others, and either this one is greater. All will criticize each other. Well, all those people have knowledge, but they're not serving like I do. Oh, I may not have knowledge, brother, but I'm serving. Oh, amen. And boy, we're just going to praise you. And then the knowledge people, well, you know, they're out doing, but they don't know like I know. And so just all this list stuff does is give me something to judge each other with and get glory from my group. That's what's going on when you try to receive glory from one another, approving one another, seeking glory from one another, praise from one another. All right, let's note a few things from our study in Galatians, if you please. One. Peter left grace through faith, and he did it out of fear. He feared the believers that were being sent to him from James. Remember? We studied that in chapter 2. James, from the center of religion, Jerusalem, sent some believers to spy on Peter, or on everybody, but Peter saw him coming, and Peter, out of fear, passage tells us, out of fear from those. He feared. Now, what did he fear? We dealt with this a little bit. What did he fear? That they were going to, you know, take stones and stone him right there? No. He knew what they were going to do. He feared they would not approve of him. He wouldn't get any glory from them. He desired their approval more than walking by grace through faith. And sitting there and eating with those Gentiles was going to cost him. Living by grace through faith was going to cost him. Being associated with others who live by grace through faith was going to cost him. It's going to cost him his glory. So he wanted their approval. He wanted to be rightly thought of from them, considered of them. So
out of fear, seeking glory from them, from this group of people who come from James, Peter departed from walking by faith. He was leptic. He departed from grace. Now remember what Christ said. How can you believe? Peter is sitting here. Let's just imagine we're in this room and there comes the spies from James. They're believers. They walk in the room. Peter wants praise and glory from them. He cannot trust the Holy Spirit. Impossible. That's why Christ said, how can you believe? Peter has at that point already set up, I want my glory and I want my praise from Jerusalem, the city capital of religion. He cannot trust. He has already made up his mind where his glory is going to come from. It's going to come from Jerusalem. It's going to come from James. It's going to come from the big boys. And sitting here with these horrible Gentiles, living under the freedom that Jesus Christ has set us free, he leaves it. He cannot, people, he cannot sit there and trust the Spirit when he's already decided, that's where I'm going to get my glory. It'll set your faith off immediately. So do you see why I brought that up? Do you see how it's working? You can't have trust. You can't trust. You've already set up where you're going to get your glory. So you can't trust. So out of the fear, seeking glory from them, you depart. How can you believe when you see glory from one another? You can't. You got fear. How do these work? How do these control? They control by fear. Hey, if you're not morally righteous, poor God is going to get you good. You don't know doctrine? Well, you're not going to get the rewards in heaven because it's all based on knowledge. We saw last night, that's a lie. Based on love. But this is the big one. You're not emoting correctly. Boy, you really haven't arrived if you haven't gotten the second blessing. We fear. We put fear. Any list controlled by fear. You can tell it. When you're controlled by fear, I don't want to get caught by these people. I don't want them touching me with the Gentiles. I don't want them touching me acting this way or that way. I don't want to touch them touching me doing anything because they may not think good of me. And that's where I'm going to get my glory. You can't walk by faith when you set it up. Point two, Galatians 5:15. We won't turn there because I think you remember the verse. Biting and devouring one another. Biting and devouring one another is what? It's from seeking glory from one another through the performance of the law system. This is what the law system is designed to do. So here's our law, here's our performance system, and because of our law and our performance system, we bite and we devour. They bite, they bite, they devour. All these groups. Ours is right. And you can knock everybody else's list, but you better not talk about ours. And we bite because it's knowledge. No, it's moral righteousness. No, it's service. And we're all biting and devouring. You're not going to get your glory by faith. Just trusting the Holy Spirit. Three, very important passage in dealing with our getting glory. Galatians 5:26, boasting, challenging one another. Also, greatly motivated how? Receiving glory from one another. All of these, seeking to receive glory from one another. I want to look good, and I want this approval, and I want all of this, and all of this type of thing. So people get involved following a man. Boy, I want his approval, like he's from God. And he's the only one. And if I get his approval, then I'm really good. How horrible. And then when we break down from that, what generally happens is we become very angry and start attacking that person. It's not his fault at all. It's not his fault at all. It's my fault. I did that. I wanted to receive glory from him. I put him in a situation like that. Now, whether or not he put himself there isn't my point for as far as we are concerned. I put him up there. That's where I would receive my glory. And then we start destroying it. One more point. If we leave glory of God,
if we leave the glory of God to receive glory from man, it's deception. It is not glory. There is no glory there. Okay, let's look at Jeremiah. Let's go to Jeremiah. So many studies take me to different books, and I feel so horrible because there's just so many wonderful things that we have not looked at in virtually every book of the Bible now that I turn to. They all have something to contribute in this great warfare that we're in the invisible spiritual warfare, when you start seeing it, like we saw the temple thing in Jeremiah. But look at Jeremiah chapter 2 with me a moment. Jeremiah chapter 2. And we're just going to look at a few verses, verses 11 to 13. Jeremiah 2. Has a nation changed gods when they were not gods? Okay, who's behind all gods? That's the demonic power of Satan, powers of forces of darkness. So this is the angelic rebellion. All right, now, but my people, those he has called, and by the way, my people, you've got to be able to do this. Yes, it is the people of Israel in context, but are you not also called? Yeah. So this is all the human race called to serve him. So if we let our eyes see what's really going on and what God is saying, it's not just Israel, but it's all people. Okay. But my people have changed their glory for that which does not profit. Okay. When you go to man to receive glory, if you're a believer in Christ, and you go to man to receive glory, you traded it in for something that is not glory, of no profit. See? The only glory, people, that is going to profit us is the glory of God. Now, I have it somewhere else, but it just seems like right now is the time we have to talk about it. Glory. Okay, books are written about it. Let's understand that. We have books written about what is glory. And let's make no doubt about it. We could spend multitude of hours on it. Let's see if we can come down and get it. What is glory? That's what shines off. That's what is seen. That's the brilliance of something that comes off of something. So, what is the glory of God that we're talking about? What is the glory? It says they have changed their glory for that which does not profit. Okay, what is the glory? People, the glory of God, as you're going to see as we continue through this, is His love. His love. That's the glory of God. This is the great mystery. This is the one Satan can't figure out. He can figure out righteousness, but he can't figure out this one. He can figure out the law, but he can't figure this one out. This one baffles him every time. How God can let David get away with murder, adultery, fornication. I mean, go down the list. And David walks. Satan can't figure all this out. Just can't. He can figure out righteousness and judgment, but he can't figure this out. This is the mystery. It's the slot. It's the mystery all through the parables. This is the mystery. Can't figure it out. Because you're trying to do law. You're trying to do that performance thing. And you're never going to make it. This is his glory, right here, doing his life. I don't understand how that can be. It's a mystery. How can God save? How can he make righteous the unrighteous? Go back to all those things he studied in Job. That can't be done. Because we're dealing with law, we're dealing with this, we're dealing with the performance. Get your glory from the law. Get your glory by doing right. Get your glory from adjusting to all of that stuff in the law. No. You get your glory. This is his glory. That's what we're going to find out. Okay, let's look at our passage. But my people, verse 11, have changed. So they had the glory once. This is the problem of the church. You got it once and then you lose it. have changed their glory for that which does not profit. How do we change glory? How do I change glory from one that was glory to a glory that doesn't profit? People, God Himself will tell us in the next two verses. You want to answer that question? How do we change glory? He tells us, verses 12 and 13. Be appalled, O heavens, at this, and shudder. Be very desolate, declares the Lord, for my people have committed two evils. They have forsaken me, the fountain of living waters. Okay, let's just go back and work our way through this. Verse 12. Now, what we really want to look at is how they changed their glory, which is telling us how we could change our glory. We received our glory at the cross, faith in Jesus Christ. He put into us His Spirit. All right, now, we changed it. The problem of the church. All right, let's see. Verse 12. Be appalled, O heavens, at this. Okay, who's God speaking to here? Be appalled, O heavens. Who lives in the heavens? Angels. People, if you can begin to see that all through the Bible, from Job, where you start off with man on earth, God and Satan, in this debate about man, go to the garden, where you have God and Satan again, and man. Job starts out man in harmony with God. The garden starts out with man in harmony with God. And then the angel, the angelic realm, gets in this thing. This is the whole flow. This whole thing is about God's love to angels. God's love for Lucifer, the bright and shining one. And you can never forget that. And I told you Paul says that in Galatians, in Ephesians. What is this whole thing about? We are here to reveal to angels. What does Paul say in Ephesians? We wrestle not, we war not against flesh and blood. People quit fighting one another and all of the stuff we do to one another. One another is not our enemy. The powers of darkness and the principalities of the air. We're in a spiritual warfare that involves angels. They're far more important, I'm sorry, than our self-centeredness. They are what it is about. All right, so look what he says. Be appalled, O heavens. The dwellings of heaven are the angels. Shudder. Be appalled, shudder. If we were to deal with the verse, we'd study the words and how what all this means. This is the attitude of God when you change your glory from walking by faith to receive it from man. It's appalling. It just brings the shudder. Then it says, and shudder. Be very desolate. Declares the Lord. So the issue is before angels. Angels are watching. Angels are learning. Verse 13. For my people have committed two evils. All right, this is crucial to our lives. This is, brings you now into this deal. Verse 12 is for the angels. But now we come into where you and I are involved in this whole little episode. Where we fit into this. So, let's take a look now. Verse 13 is the issue, and I want to just walk you through it and show it to you. So let's be sure that we're together. Jeremiah 2, verse 13. For my people have committed two evils. Now, what are the two evils? They've committed adultery, and they have murdered. No, that's what it says. Look what it says. They have forsaken me, the fountain of living water. And here's the second one. To hew for themselves cisterns, broken cisterns, that can hold no water. All right, let's see what we have going on here. All right. For my people, that's those who have received His glory and now have traded that glory out for getting glory from one another, somewhere else. For my people have committed two evils. All right, let's see where our lives fit here. First evil, they have forsaken me, the fountain of living waters. All right, question. How do we forsake Him? And it's so crucial to understanding. How do we forsake Him? How do we forsake Him? Not trusting. Thank you. That's how we forsake Him. People, the moment you and I stop trusting Him, trusting His Spirit, we forsake Him. That's the moment we do that. We forsake Him when we stop trusting Him. This is far more important than any sin you want to talk about that comes afterwards. And sins will follow later. But when you catch another believer in sin, what do? We're to restore that one. Why? Because what is the big deal? It's not the sin that needs to be dealt with. We need to restore them back to faith. That's the big problem. The problem isn't the sin. Christ bore it on the cross. The problem is to stop trusting. To stop acting by faith in the Spirit. That's why we restore. Restore them to what? Restore them to faith. All right. For they have forsaken Him. Hold your place. Look at Galatians. I just can't even begin to tell you. Well, you can tell how many times we go to our study in Galatians, and we're going to have to do that with Ephesians and Colossians, not to mention Philippians. All right. Galatians, chapter 1. Let's see if we see the same thing. Chapter 1, verse 6. I am amazed that you so quickly deserting Him. The same thing as forsaking Him in Jeremiah. Deserting Him who called you by the grace of Christ for a different gospel. Different gospel from the gospel by which you were saved. So, let's turn back now to Jeremiah. So, I just want you to, in your mind, to start just seeing, wow, this is just the same things over and over. And dear people, let me say this. If you're looking for something new now, where are we going to go now? Everything we're going to study in the Bible is going to lead us to one place. Trust me. Trust me. That's where knowledge of doctrine really takes us. Knowledge of doctrine doesn't take us to trust doctrine. Knowledge of the truth takes us always to trust Him. Okay, let's go back to Jeremiah now. Look what we have. So what is the first evil? Stop trusting Him. What is the first step in seeking glory from one another? Stop trusting God. Stop seeking your glory from God. See, here's what you do. If you just say, I desire, this is you now, and myself, I desire that my glory, or the glory, let's word it this way, that the glory I receive from God. I want it to be God's glory. Okay? If you say that, and if you mean that, and if you understand what you're saying is, therefore, I am going to just trust Him. I am going to walk by faith in the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit will give me that glory. What's that glory? Christ formed in you. What's that glory? That glory is His love manifested through you, spiritual love. So, here's what you and I do. I desire glory that I receive in life, that I receive it from God. That it is God's glory that I get. Therefore, how do I do that? I'm going to walk by trusting the one that He sent to give me that glory, His Spirit. So, this lets you know, if this is your desire, it lets you know where to go and how to get it. If I want God's glory, I go to God and I get it. The only way we get anything from God is by trusting Him. Now, how do I change? How do I forsake? How do I leave it? Okay? Then all I have to do then is to say, okay, I desire glory from somewhere else, from one another, from man, from some system. Boom. This is all cut off. This is all cut off. So what's the first evil? The first evil, it's a better word than sin. The first evil you and I do is we stop trusting Him. That's our first evil. This is going to lead me, now think with me as we go into the second one. Oh my goodness. All right. As we go into the second one, just stay with me. Watch. If I stop trusting Him to receive His glory, I'm going to have to go somewhere to receive it. I'm going to go somewhere to get glory. That's the nature of the beast, nature of the creature. So I've got to go now, and I've got to find somewhere to get my glory. Because I've stopped trusting Him. And I want you to just understand this. You will go somewhere else to get that approval and get that glory. You will go to one another. You will, in other words, you'll go to man, some performance system, and sometimes, and it's a heart, not just sometimes, but it's the heart of all of these, you're going to create your own little idol. It's generally one another. That's what happens to a lot of people. This is especially true what people do with pastors and preachers and leaders of movements and stuff. They're going to be, I get my glory from being identified with this person, with this movement. This is why we have so much trouble when we run up to somebody, run into someone, and we're just talking, and we come to the spiritual realm. Well, I am, boom. I am, boom. We won't say, well, I'm a Christian, and I live my life by faith in the Holy Spirit. Ah, well, so do I. Let's sit down and talk. No, and pardon me, but it's just so weird. I'm a Baptist. Still, the person's immediately got to say where they get their glory now. If you say, I'm a Baptist, well, I got to tell you where I get my glory. Well, I'm a Methodist. Well, I'm a Presbyterian. Well, I go to the Bible church, and I follow this man. I follow this person. We've immediately got to tell where we get our glory. Instead of Christians meeting one another somewhere and say, I follow Christ. I live by faith in the Spirit. Ah, man, so do I. Let's sit down and talk. Immediate rapport. But as soon as I tell you, no, I get my glory from somewhere else, then you got to tell me where you get your glory. Now, unless we're both of the same denomination, then we're going to have this competition. But if we sit down and say, I follow Christ and I live by the faith and Spirit, and oh, well, so do I. Then boom, immediately, we've got something in common. Let's sit down and talk instead of trying to get our glory over here from one another. And if you can follow through where this is going to go next week, and I'm sorry my time ran out, you can see where everybody gets, it's kind of like the list thing, but everybody that gets their glory from this person, then they're all together, and this person, and they're all together, or this movement, and they're all together, where are we back? We're back with our list concept again. We're back with our performance again, even though now it's a man. And then now it's some person that we're going to get this from. And there's no doubt about it, these people that this occurs with have some type of charisma. It may be just their whole carriage of themselves. It may be their IQ. It may be something about them. As I tell people, we're not going to, you know, few people are going to be led astray by, you know, I'd like to say Martha Ray or Imogene Coca, but I hardly, probably, John might know who that is, and maybe Chris, he wouldn't admit it, but John and I might know, but, you know, it's not going to be, but you know, it's going to have to be some, you know, if it's a man, it's going to have to be some good-looking guy. If it's a gal, some good-looking guy. Not many are going to be led astray, you know, by a red skeleton or something, some goofball. So it's going to have to be somebody that has a simulant of glory, that I think is glory. They've already got to have something because I want that. I want to be associated with their glory that they have. What a tragedy. When we can all have it right here. Okay, I hope this is making sense for you. We'll start here next week, and we've got the first evil down, and we'll zero in on the second evil and have follow suit. Let's close in prayer. Father, We sit here and we open up the scriptures, and your Spirit starts to open our eyes, and we begin to see that fundamental to our nature, though we may not have thought about it when we came in here tonight, is the seeking of glory. We don't think of it that way, Father. We're not prone to think of it that way day in and day out. But your Spirit's opened our eyes that we do seek a glory. As
as members of the human race being here on earth. We seek a glory, Father, because you created us that way, that we would seek a glory. This is something that you, Heavenly Father, have instilled in the creatures, angelic and human. And now we're becoming very aware of the fact that it becomes a very important part of our life, is this receiving glory. And we're so appreciative for your spirit of opening our eyes. We don't think this way normally, Father. We're so caught up in so many things that this starts to happen in our life without our even being aware of it. Now your spirit's making us aware that we do seek glory. And Father, we pray that your spirit will lead us to seeking glory from you. And we know, Father, that we are not above forsaking you. We know that we are not above trying to find glory from somewhere else. And so, Father, we pray that we will be sensitive to your spirit, that we will walk by faith in your spirit, and even when we're not, that we will listen for him when he nudges. Father, we desire that your glory come through us all day long, that glory being the love of Christ. We praise you, Father, for your glory that you have shared with us by your Spirit. Father, we praise you in your Son's precious name. Amen.